assurance. Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior.
there. Is today your first time here? Or maybe your first time in a while? If so, maybe you're wondering exactly who we are and what this church is all about. Well, we'd like you to know that we're a group of ordinary people who are on an amazing journey together, following Christ. Our guide is the Bible, because it's the divinely inspired word of God, and it will never take us in the wrong direction. Along the way, we hope you'll see that we are welcoming and spiritually passionate, and that getting to know you is a big deal to us. We know that the road is rough sometimes, but we'll work really hard to bring you practical and relevant messages to equip and encourage you through life's ups and downs. We want you to know that we care about this community, and we believe that it's our job to make it a better place. So, no matter who you are or where you've been, we're glad you're here with us today. And we hope that you'll join us on our journey, following Christ and living out His plan for us. So, welcome to church.
Good morning, good morning. Can we all stand and get ready for worship this morning? I'm so happy to be here this morning. How many of us believe that our God is so great this morning? And throughout the week and all times. So, this song is a great song. It speaks on how our God is great and basically how he makes things perfect to me. That's how it speaks to me, and I think it speaks to you also. So it's about how he speaks and he makes things happen. You don't have to wait. Yeah, we ask him to do things sometimes. He doesn't respond all the way. He doesn't respond right then and there sometimes, but it's a patience. And that's what makes our God so great. It's just being patient, waiting on Him. That's why we worship. So let's worship this morning this song.
Water you turn into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God.
Into the darkness you shine. No one like you, none like you.
you are for us. And if our God is for us, you are for us, Lord. And if our God is for us, you are for us. And if our God is for us, you are, He is for us, He is for you, our God, our God.
Church, we serve a God who is great, a God who's strong, a God who sits high and looks low. He's still a healer, He's still awesome in power. And I think one word that just captures all of that is great. The Lord is great. And it's not even just because of the things He's done for us. It's not even just because of the things He's going to do for us. But He's simply great just because that's who He is. Does anybody believe that this morning? That we serve a God who's simply just great? And so this morning, I want us to surrender our hearts as we declare that we serve a God who is great, that we serve a God where all the earth will shout His praise, and our hearts will cry and our bones will sing how great He is.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are You, Lord. So You give life, You are love,
You
bring light to
the dark.
You give
hope,
You restore.
Are you, Lord,
please stand on the earth?
story in the Bible. There's this woman by the name of Mary, and now it's not Jesus' mom. This was a different Mary. And I don't want to spoil the story too much for you. You can go back and read in context of who she was and what she did. But there was one moment where Mary came to the feet of Jesus, and she had some very expensive oil in a box, what the Bible calls her alabaster box. And we think about how there were so many different people who were looking at her, who were judging her, saying, how could you come to Jesus? Who do you think you are? Do you know what you did? Do you know who you are? Do you know the reputation you have around here? And you think you're worthy of being at the feet of a king? But what I love about Mary is that Mary was not consumed in what people thought of her. She wasn't consumed by the stares. All she knew was that I have this oil that I have to pour, because this is a Savior who can redeem what people think they know about me. This is a Savior who can redeem the brokenness that I've been living with for so long. This is a Savior who can save me. This is a Savior who can bring me back into His love. This is a Savior who desires relationship with me. So yes, there are people watching. Yes, there are people who think they know things about you. But can I encourage you this morning, with hands lifted all over this room, that you pour out your oil to the King this morning, that you pour out what's in your alabaster box this morning. Whatever depression you come with, pour it out this morning. Whatever anxiety you face, pour it out this morning. Whatever pain you face, pour it out this morning. And even if you don't have any ailments or anything to grieve about, just say, God, I thank you for being able to pour. I thank you for being able to see me. I thank you that I can come to you in need. I thank you that it's your breath. It's your breath. It's your breath. It's your breath. Your breath in my lungs. So I pour out praise to you this morning. I pour out my worship to you this morning. Not just because of what you've done, but who you are. Who you are. Who you are. Who you've been. Who you'll continue to be forever into eternity. It's your breath. Yep. So we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour it out to you.
Great.
You that there is nobody else like you. No one can heal us like you do. No one can save us like you do. We thank you for access. We thank you for the ability to speak your name, Father, where in so many other places it's such a privilege. And we carry that same weight this morning, that it is a privilege to call on the name of Jesus. We thank you for this encounter with you, Father. It's an honor to be able to serve you. It's an honor to be able to hear words that speak about you. But Father, we need to see you. We desire to see you this morning. We desire to hear from you. So many of us come in with so many different things, but you are a God who sees all, who feels all, and knows all. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, whatever it is your people stand in need of, I pray that you pour it out, that it saturates this place like never before. May your anointing fall fresh here. And it's in the name of the Most High God, the sweetest name of Jesus, we pray. Church, if you believe that, can you lift up a praise to our God this morning? A praise to our King, a praise to our Savior. Amen, 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 amen. Listen, you guys can go ahead and take your seats and get comfortable. Amen, amen. Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Listen, if we have not had the privilege of meeting yet, my name is Corey. My friends call me Corey, so you know you can call me Phenomenal. So I have the privilege and the honor of being the youth pastor here at Carpenter Shop, and on behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor Wallace and Joy Phillips, we welcome you guys this morning. For those of you watching online, we welcome you this morning. We know that you could have gone to any worship experience, but we are so privileged and so honored that you decided to come worship the Father with us this morning. Amen. So y'all will be proud of me, and here's why y'all will be proud of me. Because y'all remember last time I needed my phone? You know, because I had to, you know, my age, I'm a lot closer to the big inserts number here, because I don't want y'all to fuss at me and tell me that it's not old. But I don't need my phone today. I remember all the announcements. You be proud. Y'all don't sing. Thank you, Zach. Because they experience a little bit more, like they know my memory is kind of like, it's by the grace of God I remember their names. No, but I'm kidding, kind of. So the first announcement is we want to welcome Pastor Frank and Brenda Adams this morning. So some of our men's team helped them move in, and we are excited for them to be a part of our ministry. Can we make a sound for our new family members this morning? Are they in the room this morning, Pastor Adams, Pastor Frank? Okay, they didn't make it. You know, moving's a lot, guys, moving's a lot. But we are so honored to have them with us. We're honored that they are a part of our Carpenter Shop family. The next announcement is our lead pastor, Pastor Wallace Phillips, will be back with us this week after a week long of ministry in Pakistan. Listen, that was not an easy task. Especially because, so here's the thing, guys, there are so many different places in the world that don't get the privilege and the honor of being so public about their declaration in their faith. And so it's an honor to be under leadership that desires God's heart over comfortability, right? It's an honor to, it's an honor and a blessing that the Lord has given us leaders who desire for people just beyond these four walls to also experience Jesus. I'm grateful that we don't just keep Jesus in this room, because if that be the case, then why are we here, right? It's our mission, it's our assignment as believers to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so it's going to be great. Pastor Wallace also wants to thank each and every one of you guys for your prayers and for your covering while he was gone. It's one thing to already be a pastor who is serving in such a sacrificial way, but to have a church family who's so loving and so covering, because it's our responsibility to cover our leaders. Amen? Amen? Okay. Y'all, thank you, Sid. All right, so boom, y'all be proud. You see, announcements. Did them without my phone now. I almost grabbed it, but the Lord is kind. The next part of our service is a part where all of us can participate in. It's our worship and giving. And so Here's the thing with our giving, guys. The Lord, I know I talk about this often, but the Lord is really kind. And what I mean by that is he doesn't ask for our everything. He doesn't ask for everything we've made, but in the reality of it is, had it not been for him, we wouldn't be able to do any of it. But all he asks is for that first portion, just to show that we are appreciative, just to show that we're grateful. And as we build his house, he builds ours. And even if it's not finances, maybe it's just a healing, maybe it's just a deliverance, maybe it's something you've been believing him for a while. When you build your faith, even in your giving, he honors it. So I'm going to pray. They're going to put up some ways that you can give on the screen. You're more than welcome to come give your gifts in the front. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gifts that we're about to receive, God. May they be built to build your house for your glory, for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done. Thank you that as we build your house, you're building ours. Thank you that you're returning our investment, not because we deserve it, not because we've done something great, but because you love us and you're a giving Father who gives phenomenal gifts. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Lord,
yes, Lord.
15, and he didn't live the best life. He didn't live the life that you read about, how you're supposed to live in the Bible. But on his deathbed, he became an offering. On his deathbed, he gave his life to God. On his deathbed, he fixed it. He fixed it then. I live a life now not wanting to wait until my deathbed. God, when I surrender to you, God, I want to be an offering. I want you to use me. I want you to send me. I want to put you in front of me. If I could have anything, Lord, I want to be
offering.
Lord, I want to be
offering.
Lord, I have to be
offering.
Lord, I want to be
morning. We have a very special guest with us this morning, Pastor Kendall Alfaro. He told me how to say it, but I told him he was going to have to take like this Orlando Berti County version of it. So we bless the Holy God. So just a little bit about Pastor Kendall. Pastor Kendall is the district-wide youth director for the North Carolina Assembly of God. Yeah, y'all better clap because I'm going to tell him where y'all live. No, I'm joking. Pastor Kendall has a beautiful wife, beautiful family. I've had the joy of getting to know Pastor Kendall over the past couple of months. We went to dinner last night. And, you know, I'm just thinking it's going to be a conversation. Like, we're just going to talk. No, Pastor Kendall kind of got me together a little bit. But he did it so subliminal. Like, whenever Pastor Kendall pulls back, like, when he's like, you know, well, Corey, I'm like, oh. The Lord is about to flow. Like, as soon as I see this hand right here, but guys, you are in for a treat. I believe that he has a special message from the Lord just for you. So listen, can we do us a favor? Well, can y'all do me a favor? Can we make a very big carpenter shop welcome to Pastor Kendall this morning?
Well, good morning. How are we doing this morning? Oh, man, it's such an honor to be with you. And, man, there's no place I'd rather be than in God's presence. Amen? Amen. It's so good to be in God's presence. It's also just an honor to be here with you this morning. Man, so thankful for God's presence. You can just sense him in this room. And, you know, as Pastor Corey mentioned, he said, you know, I think when it came to worship, one of the thoughts that he was having was just God and his greatness. And I was reminded of a passage of scripture, and I just want to share that with you very quickly, and it's in Isaiah 40. And pretty much through the prophet Isaiah, God is speaking to his people, and he says, to whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, they might at least choose wood that wouldn't decay and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down. And Isaiah says that the people question God and his promises. You say, O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? And O Israel, how can you say that God ignores your rights? And then he asks them this question.
And I feel like this question, some of you, you've been asking, does God see me? Does God care? Does God love me? Does he understand what I'm going through? And this is what I just sensed for someone in this room. This is the word of the Lord for you. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Have you not heard? Do you not understand and see? Who can you compare to our God? Isn't it incredible that we serve a God that we can come to who there's nothing too difficult, there's nothing too hard for him? Yeah. Amen? 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 Well, I just pray that someone in this room, I just sense that, someone in this room, that's just the word of the Lord for you. And I just want to say what an honor and blessing it is to be in God's house with you this morning. I want to say thank you to Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy just for the privilege of not only being with you, being in your presence, be able to spend time with you as a church family, but just want to say thank you for the privilege and opportunity just sharing God's word from this pulpit. I know Pastor Wallace doesn't take that lightly, and so I'm so honored and I'm so thankful. Here recently, I had the opportunity at one of our, we would say, network events where Pastor Wallace came to Raleigh, and we were able to interview some potential and future ministers, and just spending time with him, I could just sense the wisdom and the grace of God on his life, and just how blessed you are to have him and Pastor Joy as your pastors. And so can we just say thank you to the Lord for Pastor Wallace, Pastor Joy, for the gift they are. So amazing. I want to say thank you to the worship team for leading us into the presence of the Lord. Hey, I want to say thank you to you guys. Thank you. I'll let you guys have a seat, all right? You're bringing it, bro, all right? You make me sound so much better than what I really am. But, man, so honored. In fact, I come with greetings from my family. I have my wife, Jill. We've been married 17 years. Let's go, all right? Let's go, all right? Just last night, my wife said, you know, I've almost been with you longer than I was ever with my family. Like, and I was like, holy cow, like that, you get to a point in marriage where that happens. And so I've been married 17 years. I have three boys, all right? And so I have my son who's 11 years old. His name's Heisman. And then I also have my son who's 5-year-old. His name's Roman Champion. And then we have a newborn, and his name is Kingman, all right? So I've got three boys. God's called me to raise men, and so I'm honored to do it. In fact, you see in this, that's my son Heisman, that's my son Roman, and then of course we haven't had a family picture yet with the newborn just quite yet, but so honored and thankful. So my family sends greetings. Jill, she's praying for us and our time together. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to grab it. I want you to open up to Isaiah chapter 53. And this morning what I want to do is I want to share with you a message called He Made a Believer Out of Me, all right? He made a believer out of me. I'm going to share with you from God's Word some things I believe that God wants to kind of reveal to you and me this morning when it comes to what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us by his death on the cross. How many of you know that if Jesus never would have died, we wouldn't be here this morning, amen? If he wouldn't have come back from the dead, there'd be no hope in this world. But because Jesus died on that cross, and because he's still alive, we have hope this morning. Amen? And so it's such an honor to be able to share God's word with you from Isaiah chapter 53. In fact, one of the things I love to do in life is preach, all right? So I can honestly say I am pumped to be with you this morning, all right? And so Pastor Corey and I, we ate dinner last night, and I always get this question because everybody sees me. And here's the question that they ask me, what are you, all right? So are you black? Are you white? Like, where are you in the mix here? And I would say this, all right? I'm actually Cubano, all right? So my dad was a black Cuban, and so what you need to know is that this morning it's going to be spicy, all right? So I'm going to be coming at you a little bit, all right? And here's the thing. Because I'm spicy, my voice may get loud, all right? But I'm not angry, all right? All right? I know people always talk about me when I was pastoring. They called me Pastor Biceps, all right? I am not mad, all right? I'm not angry. I'm not trying to flex on anybody. I'm just super passionate and pumped to share God's word with you, amen? And so I'm so honored and so thankful to do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 53. Now, let me give you a little context about Isaiah. You know, Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord, and he was used by the Lord mightily. In fact, it's through Isaiah that God brought many of the prophecies that we know that would speak about the coming Messiah. Now, when we read scripture, we understand that it's speaking about Jesus Christ. But when Isaiah was proclaiming it, he was just speaking about a Messiah that would come, and then the things that the Messiah would do, that would confirm that he really is the Messiah. So when we come to Isaiah chapter 53, we know that it's speaking about Jesus Christ. But the people this time, they just knew a Messiah was coming. Now, the issue with Isaiah is that many times when the people heard Isaiah prophesy, they did not like what they were hearing. In other words, he was not a preacher that you wanted to go and listen to because you would not walk away encouraged. In fact, many times when Isaiah was prophesying to the people, it was actually how judgment was going to come on them because of them turning away from the Lord. They would turn their hearts from the Lord, and God would send Isaiah, and he would prophesy to the people what was to come because they had turned away from him. But what you find as you read the book of Isaiah is you will start to see that as you start to come to the end, all of a sudden the prophecies begin to change. All of a sudden you see Isaiah proclaiming to the people that even though they've turned away from the Lord, that God's going to take care of them. That he's going to send a Messiah into this world. That there's hope that they could have in the world in which they are living. And this is where we come to Isaiah chapter 53. Because in Isaiah chapter 53, what Isaiah does is he proclaims what the Messiah would do, what he would accomplish for not only God's people, but also for all mankind. And the beautiful thing is that we understand that it's speaking about Jesus Christ himself. That in Isaiah chapter 53, it speaks about not only Jesus Christ, but what he did and what he accomplished for you and me when he died upon the cross. Now, I want to say this, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that if you understand what Jesus Christ accomplished for you through his death on the cross, all your needs could be met. Now, listen, if you understand what Jesus Christ accomplished for you when he died on the cross, all your needs could be met. You see, the cross of Jesus Christ made it possible for you and me to live an overcoming life. To where in this life we could actually thrive. Instead of just walking in defeat where we have hope. Instead of being overcome by circumstances, we can overcome the circumstances in which we live. That in every situation, in every circumstance, because the death of Jesus Christ, that you and I can walk in victory. In fact, the cross of Jesus Christ was more than just a historical day. It's a day in which you and I can come to see in reality the things of God at work in our hearts and in our lives. To where a life that is to come can be experienced right here and right now. That a better day is coming, but also a better day you can have it right here and right now. You see, when you understand what Jesus Christ accomplished for you, all your needs could be met. And I would say this, that's great news, amen? Overcoming in this life is incredible news. But there's a catch. And here's the catch. If you don't put your faith in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you, then you can't receive what he came to give you. If you don't put your faith in what Jesus Christ accomplished, you can't receive what he came to give you. In fact, let me put it to you this way. Overcoming in this life is within your reach, but it's not in your hands until you put your faith in Jesus. That's just it. It's within your reach. You can see it. You know, if I can just get past today, guess what? It's within your reach. But it's only until you put your faith in what Jesus Christ has done for you that you can actually receive that and have that. And this is what I love about what Isaiah does. Now, I think it's important for us to mention this morning for every single one of us in this room, that you're not here by accident. That in this life that you were created to know God and to walk with God. In fact, you're created with a distinct purpose that only you can fulfill.
Your story matters. I don't care what you've been told in this life. I don't care if they said you'll lose, you'll never amount to anything. You may even say that to yourself. I don't measure up. I'm not adequate. You may say that. All those lies may be rattling through your life every single day from the moment you look back and you say, I've always heard this voice, or this has always been spoken over my life. But you just need to understand that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word over you. That every single person has been created for a purpose, with a purpose. That you're not an accident. You're not a coincidence. I hope you understand that you were put on this earth not just to work a job and hopefully things work out and you survive and go to heaven someday. But you are here to know God. You're here to walk with the Lord. You're here to experience His peace and His joy and His life. And not only experience it, but walk in it each and every day. To be a light in the darkness. To share Him with other people. I hope you understand that. You may mow lawns for a living, but you need to understand you're more than just someone who takes care of lawns. You're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're born with the purpose to share the light of Jesus in this world. You see, overcoming in this life is possible, but you cannot experience until you put your faith in what Jesus Christ accomplished for you. Now, here's what I love, is when you look at Isaiah chapter 53, you see what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you. And I want to share those things with you this morning. How many are ready to hear God's word? Amen? Amen? I want you, we're going to look in Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 1. Here's what God's word says. And Isaiah proclaims, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed His powerful arm? Now I want to pause right there, because right here what Isaiah does is he proclaims that there's a message. And not only that it's a message, but he says, who will believe the message? In other words, Isaiah is saying that the message that God is working in the lives of men is so incredible that people will have a hard time believing it. In other words, it's so good that people won't believe it. It's too good to be true. And so Isaiah proclaims, he says, to whom has the Lord revealed His powerful arm? So he says this message that God's going to send a Savior into the world, it's so incredible, who would believe it? To whom has God revealed His powerful arm? This word powerful arm is also referred to, as other translations, as the arm of the Lord. And what this speaks of, it speaks of God's power in action. That God, who is the creator of the universe, who is God, the very God, that He would work in the lives of humanity. That He'd be willing to see us in our brokenness, even though we have rejected Him, that God, very God, would come down into our situation, and that He would, in His power and in His might, do everything possible so that you and I could still be reconciled and know Him. To who will believe this message and understand that God's powerful arm is at work in the hearts and the lives of people? But then he continues and he says this in verse 2 in Isaiah chapter 53. My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. Let me just say this. Like when you read this, what Isaiah is doing is he's setting you and me up. In other words, what he's doing, he says, the message that God would send a Savior into the world is so incredible, who will believe it? And then he gives us the context in which the Savior will come into this world. In fact, the words that he uses is this. He grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. In other words, this speaks when Jesus Christ came on the scene, you have to understand he came during a time of spiritual dryness. He came in a time when people were not hearing the prophets. He came in a time when all of a sudden what was happening is religion was rampant. And so people were coming thinking that they're drawing close to God, but the religious leaders during this time were actually leading them away from the heart of God. And so when Jesus shows up on the scene, he shows up in a dry time, in a dry season. And that's why it says, like a tender green shoot that comes out of the ground, all of a sudden you see life coming to the earth. You see hope coming to the situation. And this is what Isaiah proclaims about the coming Messiah. And then once he tells us the context, he gives us the reason why the people would not receive Jesus Christ. In fact, here's what he says in verse 3. I love it. He says, there is nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. In other words, the reason why people did not receive Jesus Christ was because this one thing, his appearance. I mean, think about it. Today, we glorify, if you think about athletes, so I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, all right? And come on, let's go. Let's get this, all right? Hey, I can't help it that they're America's team. All right, so it's like, but here's the thing. It's easy. But we're looking pretty good this year. I don't know. We look pretty good against the Giants. Anyway, so, but like when I think about it, I think of athletes today and how we lift them up and how we glorify them. In fact, we would say they're men among, they're man, like Patrick Mahomes is like a man among men when it comes to athletes. Like there's this understanding is that if there's something attractive about a person, we kind of lift them up in our culture. If there's something attractive about an individual, we want to kind of prop them up. The reality is that they tried to do the same thing with the coming Messiah. That the coming Messiah was going to be someone who's going to be broad-shouldered and is going to take the world by charge. And this is truly going to be the Messiah of the world that's going to come and save us. But that's not who Jesus was. In fact, when you look at Jesus, it said there's nothing actually majestic about him. Nothing beautiful about him. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would take me, we'd go out to see my grandparents. Now, here's the thing. My grandparents lived in Arkansas, and we lived in what we call the boondocks, all right? Like, you drove down dirt roads to get to their house, all right? And here's the thing. My mom has 16 brothers and sisters, all right? So it's like, yes, they didn't have much to do back then. So it's like, they had 16 brothers and sisters. And so we'd go out there, and I remember my grandmother having a picture of Jesus in her house. And it was this picture, and it was like Jesus took a selfie. It was like he's sitting there, and he's got this olive skin, this long hair. It's like there's this glow about him. It's just, it's a beautiful picture. He's a handsome Jesus, all right? But here's the thing. Like, Scripture tells us, actually, when it came to Jesus, there was no beauty about him. There was no glow about him. He wasn't majestic. And the people saw that, and that's why they rejected Jesus as the Savior. In other words, he wasn't abnormally well-built. He wasn't impressive. He wasn't handsome. But the beautiful thing is Isaiah says that this is the context in which the Savior will come into this world, and then he reveals to you and me what Jesus Christ accomplished so that you and I could have life right here and right now. So here's the first thing I want to share with you this morning that Jesus Christ accomplished for us, and it's this, that Jesus endured our rejection so that we might have his acceptance. That Jesus endured our rejection so that we might have his acceptance. Look at me in verse 3. It says this. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and he looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Did you know rejection is one of the deepest wounds in the soul? Scripture says of Jesus that he was despised, which means he was considered worthless. He was rejected, which means they refused to accept him, to hear him, and even to receive him. And this was by his very own people. In fact, Jesus was completely, catch this, Jesus was completely accepted by his Father. But when he came to this earth, he was willing to be rejected by everyone so that you and I could be accepted. He was completely accepted, but he was willing to come down and be rejected so that you and I could be accepted. Now, I want you to notice this, what Isaiah proclaims about Jesus. It says this, that he is a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. When you think about Jesus, do you think of him as someone that's full of sorrow and acquainted with the deepest grief? No. Not my Jesus. He's the Jesus of power and of love, continually giving life. But Isaiah proclaims that actually he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with anguish and with grief. In fact, let me give you some of the reasons why. He was despised and rejected. Why would he be acquainted with sorrow and grief? Well, I would say this. Jesus understands you and me more than you think he does. Like, I want you to hear me here. He was despised and rejected. In other words, Jesus knows what it's like for people to wonder who his Father is. In fact, Jesus even knows what it's like to be forsaken by his own Father. Do you remember when he's on the cross and he says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knows what it's like to be rejected. In his final hours, the disciples flee for their lives. He's ridiculed. He's mocked. He's even, think about it, he's even killed. He's rejected. He knows loneliness. His own family abandon him. He knows what it's like not to be accepted. He's rejected. When you think about it, he's betrayed. One of the ones that did life with him, one of the 12 comes to him in his final hour and gives him a kiss and literally betrays him, kisses him on the cheek. In other words, someone that he should have been able to trust takes advantage of him, takes advantage of the moment. He's beaten. That means he's slapped, he's punched, he's whipped with a cat of nine tails. He's literally physically abused. He's mocked. He's bullied. In fact, when he's dying on the cross, the religious leaders come to him and say, if you really are the king of the Jews, then why don't you just come down off that cross and save yourself? As he's dying, they're mocking him and they're bullying him. They verbally abuse him. He's referred to as the son of the devil, is what they called him. And he goes through pain. Think about the crown of thorns, how they pierced his hands and his feet, the beating that he went through, the pain that he endured. You see, Jesus was a man of sorrows, but he was a man of sorrows because he took our sorrows and our weaknesses as his own. Scripture says in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest, speaking of Jesus, who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Even in our temptations, Jesus can relate to you and to me. This is what it speaks to me when I think about what Jesus Christ accomplished for you and for me. Jesus Christ is acquainted with our hurts and our pains. In fact, Jesus Christ is passionate about your hurt and he's passionate about your pain. Jesus knows what you are going through because he went through it himself. Listen, when I say that he's passionate about your hurt and your pain, I don't mean that poetically. I don't mean that figuratively, I mean that literally. When Jesus Christ was up there dying on the cross, he took upon himself the sorrows of this world, your sorrow and my sorrow, and he was willing to be rejected so that you and I could be accepted. But we also see this. Jesus was punished by God so that we might be forgiven. Jesus was punished by God so that we might be forgiven. I want you to see this in Scripture, and I want you to catch this. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. I love this. Isaiah says that he took upon himself our weaknesses and our problems and our sins. And the people said it's because he deserves it. But the reason why was for you and for me, so that you and I could truly experience forgiveness. Now, the beauty of what Isaiah is proclaiming is that this is actually a promise for you and me as followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, this promise is actually twofold. In fact, how many of you like pancakes, all right? This is like a pancake. There's two sides to it, all right? In fact, there's a two-side blessing to what Isaiah is proclaiming here. It's a spiritual blessing, but also a physical blessing. Here's what Isaiah proclaims that is a blessing for you and me. He puts it this way, like there's this understanding that when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, it paved a way for transformation and change to come to our lives, spiritually, but also physically. In fact, Paul speaks to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He says this, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This is incredible. In other words, that when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, it literally made a way for you and me to be transformed and changed spiritually from the inside out. That's an incredible promise. Our sins are forgiven. They're completely removed from our lives. We are seated with Jesus Christ. We rule and we reign with him. We spiritually are transformed and changed. It's unbelievable. But there's also another promise here. Because we understand this, that Jesus was punished so your sins could be forgiven. But catch this, but he was also punished so that you could be healed. So that you could be healed. I want you to catch this. And here's where we see the fulfillment of this happening in the New Testament. And Matthew writes this in Matthew 8 and verse 16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, Jesus, and he drove out the spirits with the word and healed, catch this, healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. Did you know the greatest miracle that God can do in someone's life is save them? It's the greatest miracle. Where He can take you from being dead in your sins and being alive in Him. It's the most unbelievable miracle. And because that's the most incredible miracle that you and I could ever experience, it's no big deal for Him to heal your broken body. You see, this is the reality of what Isaiah is proclaiming. That you spiritually can be transformed and changed, but even the reality that you're experiencing right here and right now, you can experience God supernaturally and be healed by Him. Amen? You see, one of the things, this is really important, because when Scripture speaks of what Jesus Christ came to do, He came to proclaim that the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is now. And so when Jesus shows up on the scene, He shows up on the scene, yes, so our lives could be saved, our lives could be changed and saved, but also so the realities in which we deal with could be super, He could supernaturally intervene and bring transformation and change as well. It's incredible. You see, Jesus not only wants to save your life, but He wants to heal you of your brokenness. It's incredible. Now, what I love is Peter speaks to this and says, this is true. That Jesus Christ can heal you. He says this in 1 Peter 2. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Catch this. By His wounds, you have been healed. I'm reminded of how Jesus Christ not only saves us, but He actually brings supernatural, physical healing in our life. When I was youth pastoring, I had a college student that was one of our leaders, and I remember his name was Christian. I could see that Christian was down. I didn't quite understand, and I said, Christian, what's going on in your life, man? He said, the deal is my mom actually fell, and she cracked her pelvis. And I said, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, and the deal is, not only did she crack her pelvis, but she's going to have surgery this week. And I said, Christian, I am so sorry, man. I'll pray for your mom. And I'll never forget, as I was preparing for service that day, I look out in the parking lot and I actually see Christian's mom. And Christian's mom had a walker and she literally is going inch by inch. She's going inch by inch and her husband's behind her just kind of helping her. And I remember I went and opened the door for her and she comes inch by inch and I stopped and I said, what are you doing here? Like, you crazy. Like, you have to have surgery. You cracked your pelvis. And here's what she said. She said, I know this. I've cracked my pelvis. Yes, I'm going to have surgery. But I know this and I believe this, that if I can get into God's presence and if I can have the people of God pray for me, I believe God's going to heal me. That's what I believe. And I remember, I was like, okay, like, I stand with you in Jesus' name. And I'll never forget, I went and led a service in another part of the building, and they had a prayer meeting service, and I will never forget, after service, hanging out, talking to people in the atrium, and then what do I see in the atrium? I see Christian's dad carrying the walker above his head and his mom walking straight up out of that auditorium. It was unbelievable because God completely and totally healed her. I've seen students that have had a gymnastics injury where a girl snapped her shoulder, literally x-ray, completely broken. We gather around her. We pray for her. She believes God's healed her. She has full range of motion. She goes back to the doctor, gets another x-ray, and God completely and totally healed the bone just like that. Had students that need surgery on their knees say, Pastor Kendall, will you pray for me? And I said, I don't need to pray for you, but in service, we're going to have people come around you. We're going to pray for you. Believe God's going to heal you. Needing to have surgery, God healing their knees. Like time and time again, I'll never forget a young lady who couldn't hear in her ear. And I remember she couldn't hear in her left ear. And I remember speaking, saying, right now, there's someone in this room. God wants to open your hearing. And so I just want you to receive your healing. And she said, that's me. And when it happened, she didn't tell me. She went and told her youth pastor. And I remember I was traveling in the state and she said, do you remember that service when you said God wants to open up someone's ear? I said, yes. She says, that was me. I literally could not hear in this ear. And in that service, God opened up my ear just like that. You see, I share those testimonies with you to let you know that when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, He made it possible for you to be transformed and changed from the inside out and for your brokenness to be healed. There's nothing too hard for our God. That's what He came to do for you and for me. That's what He came to do. I love it. He was punished by God so that we might be forgiven. But I also want you to see this. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions so that we might be healed. In fact, here's what it says in verse 5. It says, but He was pierced for our transgressions and He was crushed for our iniquities. He was pierced for our transgressions and He was crushed for our iniquities. I want you to understand this. Iniquities is the sin that comes out of our hearts.
It's the sin that flows from our hearts. It's our selfishness on display, how it affects not only us, but it affects people in this world. But a transgression is different. Because I want you to see, it says he was pierced for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. Yes, he was crushed for our selfishness, but he also was pierced for our transgressions. What is a transgression? Well, a transgression is this. It means a violation of trust. A transgression, it speaks of the sins that we have committed against other people when they should have been able to trust us. That's what a transgression is. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus took upon himself the vilest of transgressions. Should be able to trust someone, and instead they violate us. Instead they sin against us. Listen, these are the sins that we can't forgive ourselves of. The things that we've done to other people. These are also the sins that it's difficult for us to forgive other people of because of what they've done to us. Transgression. You see, the deal with transgressions and a violation of trust, being taken advantage of, being sinned against, there's this cycle that happens in our lives, and we call it guilt and shame. It's kind of like a hamster on a wheel. Some of you, you may find yourself in this room trapped by life's choices. There's one point where it started with one puff. For medicinal purposes, you started smoking marijuana, and now it's gone beyond that. It's not just even a medical thing. It's gone beyond that. It may have to do with pills as well. For some of us, it has to do with alcohol. If we can be real for a moment, it has to do with alcohol. For others of us, it has to do with pornography. For others of us, it's just the past that we cannot forget and we consistently live through. The hurt and the rejection and the brokenness of the past. And so what happens is we start to have these habits in our lives that maybe at one time seemed innocent, but now it controls you. In fact, I just sense and feel like in this room, some of you, you have secrets, but what you don't understand is that the secret actually has you. You're trapped. You're literally trapped. And what you have to understand, when Jesus Christ came, what he came to do is he came to literally transform everything in your life. To where no longer does the enemy have you captive, where you can walk in freedom. And if you're going to walk in freedom, there's some things you got to deal with. And two of those things are guilt and shame. You see, guilt and shame aren't the same thing, but they're very much alike. In fact, if guilt was driving a car, shame would be riding shotgun. They go hand in hand. But there's a difference. You see, guilt is when you acknowledge that you've done something bad. If I break the law, I should experience guilt because there was a transgression of the law. That's normal. The Holy Spirit would speak to me and say, yeah, let's do this differently next time, or let's not do that again. Okay, I got you. That's guilt. Shame is different. Because shame not only says, not only did you break the law, but it actually puts identity on you. You see, here's what shame does. Shame causes you to forget who God is, and it causes you to forget who you are. And you consistently live in this cycle of guilt and shame, guilt and shame. So you do something bad and shame comes along and says, you'll always do that. You're never going to change. Your dad was like this. You're going to be like this. This is just the cycle for you. Just need to bow down to the cycle and just try to do your best. But I'm here to tell you that when Jesus Christ came, he came to deliver you, not only where you can find forgiveness from the guilt that you carry, but also from the shame that's trying to hinder you from walking in the life that Jesus Christ came to give you. Let me give you an example of this. In the Old Testament, what would happen is God would tell Aaron, he says, I want you to get two goats. And Aaron would get two goats. In fact, I think we have a picture of it. And God would say, I want you to get two goats. And what Aaron would do is he would go and he'd place his hands on one of the goats and he would transfer the sins of the people onto that goat, and then they would sacrifice that goat. In other words, because the shedding of blood, there is forgiveness of sins. But the thing was, there were two goats. And the question that you have to ask, were two goats needed for God's people, their sins to be forgiven? No. You see, what he would do is he would transfer the sins of the people onto the first goat and it'd be sacrificed. But then he'd put his hand on the second goat. And what he would do is he'd transfer the sins of the people onto that goat. And then they would find a trustworthy man, a man of character, and that man would take that goat, and all of Israel would watch as that man would lead the goat outside the camp into a deserted area. In other words, where they could not see the goat anymore. And then here's what they would do. He would actually release the goat. And the people, it'd be out of sight and it's out of mind. Why would God do that? Well, here's what was happening. God wanted the people to understand that the sins were transferred and their sins were forgiven. But when Aaron put his hands on the second goat, what was being transferred was shame. The shame of the sins that were committed. And then God wanted the people to watch in the same way that goat was removed from the camp and that goat was forgotten about. That's exactly how God looked at their sin. No longer did he hold it over their head. He no longer wanted shame and guilt to dominate their lives based on the mistakes they made in the past, but he wanted them to focus on who he is and how he was leading them and guiding them. Some of you in this room, guilt and shame needs to be broken off of your life. Jesus Christ came so that you could experience healing and so that you could experience deliverance. From the inside out is exactly what God wants to do. He wants to bring transformation and he wants to bring change. You see, shame makes us feel like we're not worthy of God's love. We're not worthy of his acceptance, his purposes, his plans. That's why some of us have acquired such, we would say, destructive habits or patterns in our lives. And it's all because of a destructive cycle. But I'm telling you, victory and overcoming is within your reach. In fact, I sense right now there's someone in this room, you've been dealing with unforgiveness. And I'm telling you, because of that unforgiveness, you're missing out on what God wants to do in your life. You're missing out on really the life he's called you to. And so right now you're like a hamster on the wheel. It's destroying your health. It's destroying your relationships. And Jesus Christ is speaking to you and he's saying, I want to break that off of your life because of what I accomplished for you when I died on the cross. Here's the last thing I want us to see. I want the worship team to come. And it's this. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness so that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness so that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. I want you to see this in verse 6. It's all right here in Isaiah chapter 53. Look with me in verse 6. It says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, everyone under the sound of my voice right now, Isaiah says this, we all have gone astray. You know, sometimes when I read the news, I realize that people have made some very poor choices with their life. And we can have this tendency to say, I would not want to be that guy. I would not want to be that girl. That's pretty serious. I don't want to be in their situation. In fact, one of the things that we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to compare our goodness with other people's failures. We almost kind of like, I may not be good, but I'm not that bad, all right? This is human nature. But what Isaiah does is Isaiah says, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. Everyone has gone astray. Everyone has gone their own way. But every single one of us, we have made choices that work against the plans and the purposes of God in our lives. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died upon the cross, what he did is he took our failure, he took our rebellion, and he took it as his own. He was completely righteous. He completely had right standing with God, but he was willing to be sacrificed so that you and I could be accepted. You see, all the blessings that were due for Jesus alone, what did he do? He was willing to be rejected. He was willing to be beaten. He was willing to be murdered. He was willing to do all of that so that all the blessings due to him would come to you and me. And catch this. And so that all the punishment that was due to us would go to him. You see, this is what Jesus has done for you and for me.
You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth to transform and change you so that every single part of your life you can walk an overcoming life. Every single part. That your brokenness could be healed. That relationships could be mended. So that you can walk with joy and peace. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He said, come to me, and I'll give you fullness of life. I'll give you an abundant life. In fact, here's what Jesus really means. This is what he's saying. I will give you life, and I'll give you such life that you want to keep on living it. That's what Jesus wants to give you. He wants to give you life, complete and total life, where you can consistently come to him in the midst of brokenness and hurt and experience life. Experience everything that you need. That's why we say when you understand what Jesus Christ has accomplished, all your needs could be met. You can come to him and he can help fulfill and meet those needs. You see, the truth is the reason why I can say every single one of us has gone astray is because you were created intentionally by God to know him, to walk with him. And you see, the beauty is this, when you put your faith in Jesus, he changes you from the inside out. He changes you from the inside out. And the reason why I can say that is because not only did Jesus die on the cross, but they took him off that cross and they put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he came out of that tomb. He came back from the dead. And here's the catch. When he died on the cross, he took your pain, your sickness, your disease, your brokenness, your sin. He took all that upon himself. And when he said, it is finished, the price that needed to be paid, it was paid. It was paid. But you need to hear this. If Jesus Christ wouldn't have come back from the dead, we would not be in this room. We would have no hope. But you see, Jesus is alive. He came back from the dead. And because he came back from the dead, not only was he victorious over sin, but he is victorious over death itself. And that's why when you put your faith in Jesus, he changes you from the inside out. The Holy Spirit comes down and takes residence inside of you. And literally, you become, we've heard, born again because you become born of the Spirit. In other words, you're like, what does that mean? It means you actually want to live for God because it gives you a new heart and new desires. Where you want to follow him, he gives you life that you want to keep on living. And it's all by his Spirit. It's amazing. But here's the catch. When you put your faith in Jesus, the incredible thing is this. Not only do you get to experience his life here and now, but you get to experience it for all of eternity. It's amazing. You get to go to heaven, and here's the thing. What makes heaven heaven is because God is there. That's what makes heaven heaven. He's there. Makes it incredible. He's there. But here's where you have to, please hear me. This could be a reality in your life where you're changed from the inside out, where your brokenness is healed, where you go on this journey and walking in relationship with him. You see, when you put your faith in Jesus, this is as close to hell as you're ever going to get. Right here and right now, this is it. This is it. But here's what you have to see. If you choose not to give your life to Jesus, this is as close to heaven as you're ever going to get. Your brokenness and your pain, you're left with it. You're going to try to watch the right episode and watch the right YouTube video, and you're going to try to figure out how you can work all this out, but it's not going to work because it will not fill the void in your life. Or some of you, you're just going to drown out the pain and the hurt. I'll just stream another show. I just got to keep myself busy. Listen, Jesus Christ came to die for you because he loves you. He cares about you. God wants to give you life. Listen, the reason why hell is hell is because God is not there. You're left to yourself. And right here and right now, without Jesus, you are left to yourself. You are the only hope you have. Listen, if you could change your life, you already would. You already would have done it. And the truth is that God sent Jesus Christ so your life could be completely and totally changed. Now listen, here's what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about joining a club. I'm not talking about just doing it because you think you should. I'm talking about you having a real relationship with Jesus.
to where you understand, like for some of us in this room, there may have been a time in your life where you walked down an aisle, you filled out a card, you raised your hand, you said a prayer, and there was no difference made in your life. No difference. I'm talking about something real, a real relationship with Jesus. Scripture says this is eternal life, that they would know me, the one true God, and the one I have sent, Jesus Christ. So all this stuff where you put yourself together and you look the part, you can fool me all day. You have not fooled God. And that sense that you have right now in your heart that says, I think I'm okay. No. If you think you're okay, you're not okay. And you say, how can you say that? Because Paul in Romans, he says this, that my spirit testifies with his spirit that I'm a child of God. In other words, I know that I know that I know that I'm walking in relationship with Jesus. There is no maybe. No, there's none of that. You know. Listen, when you stand in front of God, you don't want to say, I thought we worked everything out. I did all right. Do you remember I went to church that day? No. Like, all your pretenses and all this stuff that we do, like, honestly, it comes down to the bare bones of what Jesus Christ has accomplished and whether or not you have put your faith in him. You see, here's the thing. Isaiah says this. Who will believe the message? It's so incredible. It's so life-changing that God would meet me right where I am and he would change my life. Who will believe it? It's so incredible. It sounds almost like too good to be true. But it is true. And the question that I have for you this morning is this. Will you believe the message? I beg you this morning as a minister of the gospel, please believe the message. Put your faith in Jesus. Experience what he has for you. For you. When are you going to step out and say, Jesus, I need you. I've come to this place. I'm going to humble myself. I need your life. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. The time is now. The time is now. Will you believe the message? Do you believe it? Listen, God loves you. He cares about you so very much. All the details of your life. All the details of your life. So here's what I want us to do. We're going to pray. And I want you to forgive me of my spiciness, all right? My spiciness. Just need to understand that God's speaking to you this morning. It's time for things to change. It's time. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for your love for us. Jesus, thank you for what you accomplished for us when you died on the cross. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're so incredible. And thank you that everything we need, we can find in you. Help us to see that. Help us to believe the message. Help us to believe. So, Father, I pray right now that you would destroy every distraction and every work of the enemy to steal this word from our hearts. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, God. In Jesus' name. You know, with every head bowed, every eye closed, this morning, if you could say, Pastor Kendall, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to give my life to Jesus. Man, as you were speaking, I just have this sense. I can't quite describe it. I would say this, that's the Lord speaking to you. So this morning you say, Pastor Kendall, I need to give my life to Jesus. I understand that he died on the cross so that I could be forgiven. I understand that he came back from the dead so I truly could experience life. And I need to. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you say, Pastor Kendall, I need to give my life to Jesus, I want you right now to raise your hands. Because I want to pray for you this morning. That's it. I want to pray for you, saying, Pastor Kendall, will you pray for me? I want you to raise your hand where I can see it. I see your hand here. I see your hand here. Come on. Come on, God's speaking to you. I see your hand here. That's so awesome. That's so awesome. Anyone else, you'd say, Pastor Kendall, that's me. Pastor Kendall, that's me. Pastor Kendall, that's me. I just sense there's one more in this room. God's speaking to you. God's speaking to you. Will you raise your hand and say, Pastor Kendall, that's me. Will you pray for me?
Will you pray for me? I see your hand back here. So awesome. So awesome. Well, hey, I want us to stand this morning. I want us to stand. I ask that you please forgive me for my length in preaching, all right? Preaching a long time. But I just sense what God wants to do here is very special. It's very special. In fact, one of the reasons why we talk about Jesus healing is because this morning, if you need Jesus to heal you, we're going to give you an opportunity to come down, our prayer team. We're going to pray for you and just pray that God's going to heal you right here and right now. Because that's what Jesus Christ came to do. Amen? Some of you, that shame and that guilt, you actually need to partner with someone. You need someone to pray over you, to pray with you, and to agree with you that that's going to be broken in your life. Can we all say that this is a safe place for us to be real? Come on, for us to be real. And I believe that Jesus has some work he wants to do. Before that happens, if you raised your hand to give your life to Jesus, can we right now, can we just celebrate with these that raise their hands? That's so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. The best decision you'll ever make is to give your life to Jesus Christ. It's the best decision. Amen? So here's what I want us to do. If you raised your hands, I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to come down, but here's what we are going to do is we want you to be empowered. And so many times when it comes to drawing near to God, we may have issues because we don't know what to say or how to do it. And so really all we're doing in these next few moments is just to be helpful. That's it. But I want us to pray a prayer together, just to help you. Just to understand this is the decision I'm making and I'm giving my life to Jesus. So I want us all to pray this prayer together. But if you raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer. And here's the thing. If you pray this prayer and you mean it, guess what? Your life's going to be transformed and changed. Scripture teaches us that when we confess that Jesus is Lord and we believe with all of our heart that we become the sons and daughters of God. We do. But here's the deal. If you say this prayer and you don't mean it, you're no different than a parrot. You're just repeating what we're saying. But if you pray it and you mean it, your life's going to be forever changed. Amen? So I want us to pray this prayer together. Say, God in heaven. Come on, say, God in heaven. I come before you a sinner. And I give my life to you. I want to know you personally. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Jesus, lead my life. Guide me. Thank you for your grace and the forgiveness I find in you. Thank you for dying on that cross and coming back from the dead. And thank you for saving my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate one more time with these? So awesome. Now listen, we're not wanting to put a comma where the Lord puts a period, but here's what we want to do. I would like and ask the prayer team. I know Pastor Corey and I talked about there's some of you that pastors and you're on the prayer team. I would ask that you would come forward right now. So we have people that are moving. We're just going to spread along the front here. And here's what we're going to do. If you need Jesus Christ to heal you, or if you just need a breakthrough in your life, you say, man, there's some things in my life, but I believe that God's speaking to me. I need to agree with people in prayer that God's going to supernaturally work in my heart and in my life. Remember, he came to heal you of your sickness and of your disease, that by his stripes you are healed. I proclaim that over you right now. You are healed. So if you need Jesus Christ to heal you, I want you right now to step out. If you need Jesus Christ to work supernaturally in your life, I want you to step out. We have our leaders here who are going to pray with you. And while you respond, while you come, can we just for a few moments, we're just going to enter into a time of worship and then we'll dismiss you in just a moment. But if you need prayer, I'm going to ask that you'd step out and you come to the front right now. Just step out and come to the front. People are coming right now. So awesome. So awesome. So awesome.
My surrender, and I will make room. nation. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. I will make room for you to do whatever you want.
Thank you, Father, for your kindness and your grace. Thank you for what you're doing in the hearts and the lives of your people this morning. Can we right now, as I just sense God's presence here with us, can you just open up your hands just like this? Just open up your hands just like this. I want you just to receive from the Lord right now. In fact, if there's something that you need Him to do, I want you right now to ask Him for it. Just begin to ask Him for it. Ask your Father. Just ask your Father for it. Whatever it is you need Him to do, He's right here with you. He loves you. He cares about you. He's working in your life. Father, we thank You that You're so personal. You tell us to cast our cares upon You because You care for us. So Father, right now I pray for marriages right now that You'd bring healing, Lord. You'd bring healing right now, Lord. That's what they want. They're asking. I pray, God, that You would do it. The God, that You'd bring healing, that You would destroy the work of the enemy in their lives. You destroy the lies of the enemy to break them up, to destroy what You have brought together. And I pray for peace, for wisdom and understanding to reign in their homes, Lord. We pray right now, Father, for financial provision, Lord, in the lives of Your people. God, that You would help them and strengthen them. That You would provide, but also give them the wisdom and understanding to steward what You've entrusted to them, Lord. But God, may You meet their needs. We've never seen the righteous forsaken. God, Your grace is more than enough. Your grace is more than enough, Lord. May they abound in Your grace and provision, Lord. Bless Your people. I pray, Father, emotionally, Lord, there's some that they're just struggling, Lord. They feel like right now, the season in their life is just so hard. They're so overwhelmed by just the emotions of it. Even wondering if anybody cares, if anybody sees. I just pray, Holy Spirit, right now that You would comfort them, Lord. They would just sense Your peace and Your grace, Lord. We just receive that, Holy Spirit. We just invite You and we welcome You right now. We just receive from You. And the same way You breathed into Adam and Eve, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would breathe upon us. God, breathe upon us right now. Supernaturally, Lord. Supernaturally, Father. We just receive from You right now. We need to be refreshed. We need to be renewed, Lord. For some of us right now, you're helping us focus on You once again, Lord. That You're the focus, Lord. Not the circumstance. We're gonna magnify You, not the problem. We're gonna magnify You, Jesus. We're gonna focus on You, Lord. And because we focus on You, Lord, You're gonna be so much greater, so much bigger, Lord. What used to seem impossible, now we realize it's not too hard for You.
Have we not heard? Have we not seen that you're the everlasting God, the creator of the universe? You don't grow tired or weary. Father, we thank you right now that you're renewing our strength, Lord. Right now, you're renewing a mom's strength, Lord. You're helping her fight the good fight. You're helping her be an example to her kids. You're helping her make decisions that honor you, even though she's tempted another way. Father, right now, you're giving her the strength she needs to honor you, Lord. We just thank you for this, Father, what you're doing right now. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your grace and your kindness to us, God. We thank you, Father. You're so good. You're so good. So good. So good. Can we one last time, can we just give praise and honor and thanks to our God? Father, we worship you. We thank you. There's no one like you. We bless you, Lord. What I want to do is I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you, and then I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Corey. It truly has been an honor to serve you this morning. Father, we just love you and we thank you for your kindness and your presence. You're the reason we're here. Thank you for meeting us. Right now, we can just sense your sweet presence. You're just so amazing. You're so good. You're so good. Father, I pray that you would go before your people. You'd send your angels as ministering spirits to keep watch and guard over them, Lord. May they walk in the fear of you, Lord. May they trust you and trust your word. And now, God, I pray that you would bless them and protect them, that you'd smile upon them and be gracious to them, that they would go in your favor and they would walk in your peace to the praises of your glory, to the building of your church, and your blessings upon their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Corey.
Amen. Amen. Can we bless God one more time for Pastor Kendall? Oh, no, that was good. That was a word that I don't know about you, but I need it. Pastor Kendall, we love you. We thank you for sharing with us this morning. Listen, so guys, Pastor Kendall has another assignment in South Carolina. So really quick before we go, we're just going to pray a special blessing and covering over him as he travels to his next destination. So if you could just stretch your hands toward Pastor Kendall. Father, we thank you for the vessel. Father, we thank you that Pastor Kendall has a heart for you. God, thank you that he is seeking and chasing after you. God, thank you that as he searches for you, that you will be found. Thank you that he will go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We ask that you keep him and cover him as he travels up the dangerous highways. We ask that you keep any impaired drivers safe and off of the roads. We ask that you keep wildlife in its respective places. We ask that your Holy Spirit meets him where he's going. Lord, let the glory flow from you to his mouth. Father, let them not see Pastor Kendall, but let them hear you. Father, let them not hear Pastor Kendall, but let them hear and see the living God, the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, saints, we love y'all. Praise God. Before you go, so listen, as you know, as a youth pastor, I try to look out for the gang. We have a donation jug that's on the Welcome Center table. Listen, whatever change you have, whatever dollars you have, we will gladly accept. This helps us send the students to conference that's coming up in November, and then we have the big youth conference coming up in March of next year. So listen, help us to pour back into them by pouring into them. Even if you never have a conversation with any of them, I promise you they're all great children most days. But no, so that is in the back. We love you guys. May the Lord keep you. May he cover you. May you have an awesome week in the name of Jesus. Amen. We love y'all. See y'all next week.